75 miles, I think.
Yeah, it's quite a ways.
And we don't have much time to stay in this one.
And that's where Joe Bush is.
Yeah.
Now, what did he work for the system for a long time?
Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe worked from, well, I don't know when it started. He's working, he was supervisor when I come here. See, I don't know when it started, but...
When you mean supervisor, what do you mean?
Well, like an inspector or... Mm-hmm. Mind went around watching after him, and he makes out the extra list, marks up you, like if I was an extra man, he'd mark me for a certain run tomorrow, write it up for the bulletin, and go around and ride the streetcar and watch the fellas.
Make sure everybody's doing it right.
Yeah, see that everything's
keeping
doing right.
Keeping on schedule.
Keeping on schedule and doing everything right. And he quit in 19... ferry boat on the river there at Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Is how come to quit. But he told me when I went up there that he had a half interest in it several years, and that he was buying it out, and he wanted me to go up there and run it for him. Well, I thought I would. And he come back down here, he said, "Man, you're not going up there to run that thing." He said, "That guy will steal me blind." He said, that's a mint up there. I'm quitting and going up there. So his old Joe quit. He said that the other fella had stole himself rich and sold out. And I bet he had, too.
I guess they didn't have any kind of bridge across there then.
No, there's no bridge at all. They kept that a long time. I guess he made a pretty good fortune out of that.
Yeah, and kind of built the dam up there. Is that when they put the bridge across? Or?
No, the bridge is down by Parker. The dam's way up above there, Parker Dam. What do they call it, Parker Dam? Been up there.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't think there's any road goes out from there. You go up that you can go up there and cross, but I don't think you go anywhere, do you, Al?
We're in California.
Huh? You're in California, but where do you go? I don't think you go anywhere.
Well, the Santa Fe Railroad goes up there somewhere.
Yeah, it crosses right there by the other bridge.
Because they used to run a, what we call the doodle bug out of here.
Yeah.
You know, up there when they were building the dam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The gas, well, one of those gas electric cars.
I happen to know that. I come back in the Army at first, before I done anything, I cut right across the United States and went down Santa Fe and went right through Parker, and I paid 15 cents for a cup of coffee the first time I ever paid that in my life, and went from there to Oakland, California, Richmond. My oldest sister lived there, and I wanted to visit her. I visited all the rest of the family, and I remember going through Parker very clear. That's the first time I did
15 cents for coffee.
I paid 10 cents way back somewhere, and then 15 there, I said, I better not buy any more. It'll probably be caught or I can't buy it anyway. I don't care too much for it, but nights, sometimes I don't want to drink it. Kind of cool at night. I don't.
Do you still drink it, or do you?
No. Once in a while, I'll drink a cup. Not often. It isn't necessary.
No, I think you're probably right.
It's a habit.
Yeah.
But I never did drink regularly in my life, just drink it regularly. I take spells. In France, I drank quite a bit in that cold, snowy Argonne woods up there. It's kind of cold up there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And, well, it wasn't much cold, but it snows up out there sometimes. I had to have hip boots. And it's chilly.
Yeah, I bet that was quite an experience.
Well, it's one of them, one I never want to see again. I don't talk about it to people unless it's a serviceman that's been over there. You can't do it. They look at you, and I know there's a lot of going on bragging to people that don't know. But they don't talk to soldiers, see?
Mm-hmm.
But they talk to people that wasn't there, and they can tell them anything. But I don't like to tell stories because it's hard to believe. And the people look at you, and I can tell the think you're lying, bragging, kind of boasting. So I've heard a lot of remarks about it. Now, he's got a son that's in World War II, and over in Luzon, wasn't it? Luzon Island, he was...
Yeah, he was stayed on Luzon Island for a long time. He's in New Guinea, Luzon Island.
Blowed up a mountain, and he just got through, barely had got through, and I guess knocked him down and had him in a hospital. He wouldn't talk to him about it, wouldn't talk to his own daddy.
Mm.
And he heard him talking to another nephew of ours. because
we got a telegram that he's slightly wounded in action, and when he come home, I asked him, I said, in what way was you wounded? He said, well, I wasn't wounded. He said, we got a telegram that said you were. What? We got a telegram that said you were slightly wounded in action. And it's about 3 months before we heard from him again, and boy, I was really worried. He finally said he broke the spell, he come out of it, and when he come home, and I tell him about it, he said he wasn't wounded.
But he told Barefoot he was, and you heard him talking. See, this other boy was in China 4 years. China, India, and Burma. Another one of my brother's sons. And they got to talking, he overheard him, and he was wounded. But you see, he was talking to a fellow who knew what he was talking about.
He wouldn't tell me. He was in the lead. There's 300 of them. There's about 12, 14 of them that made it through, and the rest of them was all buried. But he wouldn't tell it to me. He didn't want me to know about it. He's barking now. You might see him once in a while. He's in 32nd in that
32nd McDowell.
Open center out there on 32nd McDowell.
Bayless store there on the corner.
He's got his name up over there. His name's Calvin. Calvin Coolidge. But he's got his name up there. Hal. Over his chair. He's big, about 230 pounder, 6 feet and 2 inches tall. Been a barber now 40 years.
Was the were there many bridges across the canals and things on the old railways?
You mean here?
Yeah,
there was.
Was there a bridge? There was a bridge on the Grand Canal for the Glendale line.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, did it cross any more canals?
Well, they crossed small ones, yeah. They crossed one on 7th Street in Maryland up there. There's a ditch down there then, a small ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had their bridges.
Were there any out, there weren't any other big canal crossings though, like out by Glendale or anywhere
now
like that?
No, they seem to cross no big canal, I don't believe, to mountain much. Now, we went up from town. Hers Landing had a bridge over that little ditch there.
Mm-hmm. And, were they just ties with rails?
Yeah.
Ties close together and the rails bare on them?
Mm-hmm.
Any people ever walk over them? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they go across there. One fellow tried with the car and got stuck. And had to go off and leave, and the streetcar ran into him and knocked him off in the ditch. Boy, he had a messed up car.
Was that at Hers Landing?
Yeah, at Hers Landing. That was a private right of way. And he had no right on that bridge, but he thought he could make it, and he got stuck. Model T Ford.
It's a pretty good sized canal going to the Indian school. This boy got to the Indian school, if you remember that?
Yeah, going to the Indian school, but not Glendale. Well, Glendale turned off.
Yeah, that was the Maricopa
there.
Canal,
yeah.
You called it.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that bridge for the Indian school car, but this other turned off before we got to that. Then we come up here and went up this way, and there's no canal between here and across this way between here and Maryland. Desert Curve, was it?
Just
no.
The Grand Canal.
Huh? Yeah, the Grand Canal.
Across
the Grand Canal, don't you remember? Went around Dead Man's Curve and went north. And
oh, Dead Man's Curve, yeah, right down here. Dead Man's Curve was right down there.
Yep. Across this big canal, right up there. It was right along here, across the Red County. I went out there on Orangewood. Many nights,
without ever having a night for a long time, for a year or more.
And I remember crossing that old canal, do you remember that?
I can't remember where we crossed it.
Crossed it, I'm sure. Right across.
Oh,
it's right. It's this very canal that runs right down here.
Yeah, right here, where this other bridge is. There's a bridge there now. Yeah, we did have to cross it.
Had to do it.
Did they have speed limits for you on those cars?
No, but you could run a long time, and you could get a little faster, and they didn't want you to speed too much. Just to average. You'd take a runner from one block to the other, they never would get full speed. And they'd pick up momentum for several blocks, keep picking it up. And sometimes with a little down grade, they'd just, well, it's a possibility to outrun the motors. If you outrun them motors, and boy, they shoot far all over the country. I don't know what they, I never did do it, but it's pretty bad business. Mitchell told me that about this Glendale run, said you outrun your motors out there and you blow yourself up. I don't think it killed anybody, I think it just scared me, but it ruined the motors, I guess.
That was the Sam Mitchell, the manager?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a guy are you telling me yesterday that he was a fairly decent fellow?
Well, I thought he's good. You know, you couldn't lie to him, and I don't blame him. And you couldn't neglect your work, and I don't blame him for that. He hired you to work. And
he was a strict business.
He was strictly business, and you tend to your business, and he left you alone.
Mm-hmm.
He never hardly ever said a word to me on the speak. He never did bawl me out. He quizzed me about that accident, and he quizzed me like a lawyer. But I didn't care. I told him just the facts. I said, he said, I think he wanted me to lie. I didn't think about the time, but I think he wanted to see if I'd lie. And he said, you didn't know it was against the rules, did you? Talked to a passenger while he was driving the car, and I said, yes, sir. He did? Yes, sir. And you just deliberately violated the rule? I said, well, that's what you'll have to call it, I guess. I don't know any other word. He looked like he wanted to grin, man. Kind of tickled him, I think. But my mother taught me. My father died when I was 6 years old. And my mother taught us not to lie. She said, no matter what you do, don't lie. If you tell the truth and go to the penitentiary, everybody knows you're honest enough to tell the truth. And if you try to lie, I'd probably go anyway, and then they'll know you're a criminal and a liar. You're just mixing it up. And don't do it. It always pays to tell the truth and be honest. And I found it that way. Now, you see, I was honest where I grew up. I come out here, I got good recommendations from two banks. And I never done any wrongs any place. I could always send a word back to them, question them, get recommendations.
Well, I guess you must have, you drove all the kinds of cars that there were here, I guess.
Yeah, most all type. Cars, trailers.
Did they ran, even after they got the new street cars, they still ran the old 40s, didn't they?
Yeah.
They ran those?
No, they ran one more Grand Avenue, I think so, in the place. Wasn't Grand Avenue the only place to use the 40s? You weren't here, though, was you?
I wasn't here at that time.
When they got the new ones. Yeah, the only place they might have used one for an extra, but they couldn't hardly do it because there's one-man cars then. There's just one man per car. But they run them on Grand Avenue, and you just stop and collect up at the switch over there. As you're coming in, or if they got off, you'd get to there before they got off. And stop and collect. Same way with Orangewood. After they quit running to Glendale, they put one man on there. You load up in town and drive out here somewhere off the switch and stop and collect your fares.
What kind of cars were they using then?
Out here?
Yeah.
Them old pullbacks.
The ones from San Diego?
Yeah. The old Lever cars.
Did they have the new cars yet, or were they?
No, they didn't have them. They'd done away with the old, them old Lever cars when they got the new ones. And, they started the new ones in, I think it was in March, February, March, 1929.
Did the, so you say after they cut back the Glendale line, why they still ran it, only they didn't use the big cars on it.
Didn't use the big car, and they didn't go to Glendale. They just went to, what do you call that place out there?
Orangewood.
Orangewood, yeah.
Just to Central Avenue, or did they go across Central
Avenue?
Yeah,
across Central Avenue. How far? About a mile?
It's about a mile on across Central.
I didn't work it much after
Orange
they quit.
Turn the trolley and come back.
I seldom ever worked it after they stopped running to Glendale because I had a good run in town. I didn't want to work it. It was kind of a leftover for the extra board and the low seniorities.
Mm-hmm. And they probably just ran it with one car then.
Mm-hmm. One car is only operated.
Did they run it that way very long, or?
Well, I guess they run it that way from the, now they took, I don't know when, because they took that car off while I was in the Army at Glendale. And when I come back, they wasn't running to Glendale. So, I don't know just what they did. I don't know what they did them big cars either to run over there. Because a lot of things happened while I was gone. I was gone 2.5 years.
On those, when they ran those 40 cars after they had the new cars on Grand Avenue, you say they were still one man though, and they would just go up to the switch and take the fares, huh?
Yeah. Grand Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah. You collected your own fares, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Part of the time they had a conductor, but they quit that finally.
I run that for 9 months one time. I run it. Let's see. Two sign-ups, one or three sign-ups, 9 months. And I stopped at 15th and helped collect the fare from the children's school children there, and then get up to High Point. They get off there and with that school over there, and what do you call it?
Adams School.
Just across from High Point.
Adams School.
They call it,
it was called something else then, though.
Yeah, it's named after a teacher that...
Grace Court School.
Grace Court School. It's named after a teacher that...
The reason I know that is I went to school there.
Yeah. Well, I've passed that a many times. I used to walk. Had a girlfriend live out there towards Six Points, and I lived down towards the car barns. And we'd go to a show overnight, and it'd take off across the country. Wasn't much buildings up in there, and we passed right by the courthouse, the school trail went right across, cutting across, you know, went out Grand Avenue. We'd stay in the show too late and had to walk home. Last streetcar run at 10 o'clock. But I didn't get in, so I'd have to walk back. I didn't care them days, I could walk, go out at 4 o'clock in the morning, stay till 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work. Work all day, go back there every night, stay till 4 o'clock. Pretty strong, but I guess I used it up.
Well, I don't know, I'd say you're still doing pretty good.
Well, fairly well, but I could do better. If I don't have to change the flat tire, I'd be all right.
Considering all things, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Well, I do think the things I've been through in my life, I'm pretty lucky to be here. I worked in a coal mine one time down at Albee, Texas. Dug coal, and man, if that wasn't a mess, I quit that. I only stayed there a short time. I worked on the ostrich ranch a while.
And where was the ostrich ranch?
Down south Phoenix.
Oh, one of the ones here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just worked on that out of curiosity. I worked there about a year. I quit there quit the railway in time to, I wanted to go down there and work rather than to work here with among the ostrich. And I worked there about a year, and then I went back home to my mother.
What did they do with the ostriches? Did they just sold
the feathers and the eggs. They set the eggs, but if they didn't hatch, they'd punch a hole in the end of them. Them shells is thick, heavy. Punch a hole in the end out and drain it, take a wire and hook all that lining and everything out of it, clean it out and hang it out for a while, and sell them shells to visitors for $1 apiece. I take one home back to Fort Cobb. You know what ever happened to that? It disappeared. I don't know. I had one. I picked up plumes. They'd fall off. They wouldn't pick them up. And I'd pick them up. And I had two sisters here in Phoenix, and I'd give them to them, and they fixed plumes on their hat. They had some of the beautifulest hats you ever seen. But if they fell off, they wouldn't pick them up.
What did they do? Did they clip them off, or they
They clipped them. And then that stem would, they clipped it right up close, and that stem would come out, shed, when they clipped it.
Well, the thing they were interested in was the ostrich feathers, mostly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's about all it's worth, feathers.
Yeah.
Feathers and eggs.
All the women wanted them in their hats.
Yeah, the plumes were very popular them days, and the World War I broke out, well, they just went to the bottom. Yeah. They quit using them Roy Merrill was the boss down the foreman there. Remember him?
Mm-mm.
He was a sheriff here one time.
Well, I remember the name.
You remember Sheriff Roy Merrill got arrested?
Yeah.
Him and Westfall?
Yeah.
Constable, I forgot his name. I knew him.
Harry Westfall.
Yeah, but he was just a peace.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean the constable, he used to be in the precinct constable, he got arrested.
Mm.
I forgot his name, and now I knew him. And Ida Westfall got the, she's got the job now. Her husband died, Harry.
Well, I reckon maybe I better go home and have something to eat. It's been a bit, and I've been, I mean, you just don't care about eating?
Yeah, well, yeah, the worst trouble is eating your own cooking. You know, I can cook and other people can eat it, but I can't. Somehow I get, don't do no good.
I brought these along, and I'll bring them back some other time. These are the conductor books.
Yeah.
You know, where they wrote up about everybody's records.
Yeah.
And the first one starts in about 1911. And then the second one is, there's one missing somewhere in the middle. The second one is about 1922. And I was looking for your incident in there about the girls and split switch.
Well, the mixture accident? I don't know if they
But that wasn't, that wasn't, that was, would have been in the middle book that they, that I don't have. I don't know where that is.
Well, that's 1914, I believe. Was you here then? Well, you wasn't.
I was here. I was here in 13.
There's a seniority. I mean, there's a seniority list from long, long, long ago.
Should have old man Gorman's name on it.
Wesley Winter and Thompson. Lundgren. I guess you know him, don't you, Chase? Can't make that now. It's Allen something. They marked up a little bit. Harrington. Willie. You remember, do you know Willie ever?
Yeah, Henry.
Yeah, I thought you'd work. Stevenson. Old Perry, he's over in Riverside. Baker, you remember him?
Yeah, Baker.
And Binder and...
Baker, the one that's going to kick the ball over to George Jarvis.
Yeah. Hickory, there's Higgins.
Remember old Cliff, you know, there too.
Yeah. Brown. We got a lot of them rubbed off. Stevenson. That must have been Jack.
Yeah.
Ham, you remember him?
I think so.
Jarvis. G.W. Jarvis. Nice fellow.
And old man Gorman was right next to Winter when we were.
Yeah, 13, 14.
He died with TB, I think.
Gorman, yeah, he's
60.
Corvettis, who's that? Corvettis. No. Yeah.
Must be John
Corvettis. Oh, Corvettis, yeah. My glasses is mixing me up. Corvettes, old John Corvettes. Bishop, Norwood, that was a dandy man. Hudson, yes, old Hudson. Fleming. Jess Fleming is my motorman on Washington Street one time. I was coming east with the old pullback brake, right in front of the library. He quit the track and went clear over to the north curb of the street. Jumped off the track and took off like that, and I said, "Hey, Jess, where the hell do you go?" And then I passed his room. He laughed. He said, "I don't know." The brakes did.
Just came off?
Just come off the track, spread, and they just jumped. And took off to the curb. And I said, where are you going? I don't know what happened.
I bet that took some doing, huh?
Yeah, they had to bring another car out there and pull it back over. And by golly, the car just passed. If he'd hit that car, just smashed it up.
Doesn't say much about you here. This just says, Sam Hodges, December 2nd, 1924, began employment as conductor. December okay, January okay, and then turned in resignation May 11th, 1925. And then says, quit June 20th, very good conductor, but very poor health.
Very poor what?
Very poor health.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what he meant.
I don't know. It says, very good conductor, but very poor health. Then it says, always willing to help out, and was asked back to do so on July 15th. Returned to work August 3rd. Okay, 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 and on okay, all the rest of it. In 1924, anyway.
That's when I go back to Oklahoma City.
And it says, Albert Hodges began employment as motorman, former employee here. Now, I don't know why they didn't say that about you.
I don't know.
It's December 2nd, careful but unable to run his car on time.
Well, he did run on time. First, when he first started, naturally, he came right to time hardly.
That's right, he sure can.
He had a little trouble, but I did too when I first started, you know, you get scared, get up too much speed to kill somebody.
I'd like to have the one that showed you as the, you know, about that little split switch incident, but that's not...
Yeah, I don't know whether it kept a record of it or not, I guess it did.
Well, it must have somewhere, but... there's several pages out of this old book gone. There's a... says Conductor Gorman.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the first man I worked with when I went to work, Gorman.
Record of Conductor, July 1st, 1911. Gorman, Ward, Wiener, O'Hara, Stover, Dean.
Yeah, Dean broke me in.
Bledford, Anderson, Thompson, Lime, Moffat, Bowman, Wilson, Burgess, Peterson, Cox, Rayburn, McDonald, McNaff, Files, Ray, and on, quite a bunch. Well, I better get going home. I'm going to
Ben Jergamore. Old Ben Jergamore, he had him a six-shooter. He wasn't going to let nobody rob him. He went out in his school one night, and out in the school road, Osmond Road, yeah. And he stopped for a passenger. The guy walked up, stuck a gun in his face, and robbed him. Took his change and headed out. He came in telling about it, and they said, thought you had a gun. He said, I forgot about it.
Did they have many holdups?
Not very many. One old fella, let's see, Burchett, I think he got held up more than anybody. He got held up at the end of the Kenilworth line several times. So he'd go around to put his trolley up the back end, you know, and go around. But some guy would throw a gun on and take his gun. Change and beat it. Yeah. He's by himself on Kenilworth. He got robbed, I think, three or four times.
Well, I know that Bill Scott told me that when he used to work that at night, he was kind of afraid of being robbed, and what he'd do is he'd put his money down behind the controller.
Yeah.
And he'd keep the company's money up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the way I'd do it, I'd leave my headlight back there. Till you change the trolley, so you got your headlight and you can see him before you get to him.
Mm-hmm.
That'd been the best way to handle it, I think. I never did get robbed, or never nobody ever bothered me.